Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Jesus said to them, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? Good question. Why did you get out of your warm, cozy bed, get dressed, wash your face, get out this cold day to come here? What are you looking for? What are you looking for in 2026? That's a good question, because if you know what you're looking for, then it'll help you understand what you find. But if you don't know what you're looking for, you won't know what you found when you found it. Now, two men, of whom one was named Andrew, followed John the Baptist. They knew what they were looking for, the kingdom of God. They were looking for the glory of God. They were looking for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And they made a good choice. They started following John the Baptist, who was baptized at the Jordan, and they loved his message. Repent, means turn back to God. All the time, be baptized, be born again. In fact, they trusted their guru, master, whatever you want to call him, John the Baptist, so much that when he said, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," immediately they left him and start going after Jesus. They were willing to leave John to follow Jesus, the one who takes away the sin of the world, the darkness of the world, because the first part of John's gospel talks about the light that shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. And Jesus asked them the same question that I asked you a few moments ago. What are you looking for? Why are you following me? In other words, what do you want for your life? What do you want? It's interesting that the disciples did not answer Jesus' question, but they answered it with a question. Where are you staying? Where are you staying? And it's interesting that the Greek word used as translated staying is meno. And meno basically means a place, a stay, to abide, to dwell. Now, where are you? And it's more than, where does Jesus live in Capernaum? What's his house look like? You know, what's his neighborhood like? It's deeper than that. Now, their aim with their question is very good for them and for us. They wanted to know who Jesus really was, where he lives, what makes him tick, where is he rooted? And they discovered that he was in God. And God was in him. And they discovered a glory, a humanness, a humaneness, a holiness that John didn't have. In fact, John said earlier, now he's the one, Jesus, who baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with energy, glory, might. Ultimately, that's the same place that disciples found that I guess you might be looking for. A place of healing, a place of light, a place of warmth, a place where you can see each other as human beings, and that you can feel safe that they see you as a human being. And there's an energy and a power and a glory. They know love and compassion, a sense of unity and camaraderie together, glory, energy, wonder. In other words, God. To experience God, not just to know about God, not to have just a pointer to God, but to know God. And once they find God and the light and the glory, that conquers the darkness, the light for this life and forever, they were enthused. They became epiphanic, epiphanies. They became people that let their light shine, at least Andrew, because right away he goes to his brother to share. Don't you know what that's like? When you see something beautiful, you want to share it with others. Like you're walking around North Park and you see the geese flying overhead, perfect symmetry. Wah, wah, wah. I like to share that with somebody. Or walking around here, the church, the carillon, the bells, and somebody, I hear somebody saying, "Where's that coming from?" I say, "It comes from the church I serve. Why don't you come here on Sunday and worship with us?" Or you're walking up to the church and there's a beautiful hawk on top of the cross. And you just want to share with somebody. Or one time I came and where the steps were in the corner, there was a little Bambi with little dots and just looking at me. And I said, "You're so cute." And I tiptoed around it so it wouldn't be. But you want to share that with somebody. You want to share it. That helps us because, like St. Francis said in his prayer, it's in giving that we receive. What you cast upon the water comes back to you. When you give love, love becomes even more real. I know it sounds paradoxical, but when you give it away in God's love, it's even more, it keeps coming more and more and more. Andrew and whoever else dwells with Jesus finds a reality like no other reality. They find God. They find God's love and energy and care and purpose and freedom and the light that is greater than the darkness. And they know that joy. And wonder of wonders, they found that God was already with them. You know, that's one of our great gifts as Lutherans that we can give the whole church. And we're justified by God's grace through faith that's already here in Jesus Christ. We don't have to look for it. We just got to be open to it right now. And become epiphanic people that don't take life for granted, but take every moment as a precious gift from God. There's a great Russian writer, Fyodor Dostoevsky, and he wrote Crime and Punishment and Brothers Karamazov, and a great Russian novelist from the 1800s. And he tells of the time when he was protesting against some unjust laws from the Tsar. And the Tsar took him prisoner and put him in jail. And he was sentenced to death. Innocent man, sentenced to death. We don't know anything about that, do we? And his day of execution came. He had his breakfast that he chose. He said, and he smelled the eggs like he never smelled them before. It was so good, and the bread, and everything. His taste buds were just amplified because this is the last time. Every breath of air was my last breath. Oh, how wonderful. He went out and the soldiers took him in the courtyard. And he felt the sun on his face. Oh, how blessed to feel that warmth. And they lined him up and put a blindfold on him. And they said in Russian, "Attention! Ready! Aim!" They took the mask off him. He was alive. They were firing blanks. It was the Tsar's cruel psychological test to see, okay, if I spare you, realize the next time the bullets will be real. But for Dostoevsky, he had an epiphany. He said he was grateful to the Tsar, even though he was a schmuck. The enemies of the soldiers that were going to kill him, he loved them for not killing him. He felt this light and this love and this joy and this glory that he said from that time on. He talked about waking up, having an epiphany the morning of his execution with full assurance that he was loved, that he was graced, and he wanted to share that with others. And so he became a novelist at that moment, a brilliant novelist. If you read his stuff, it's not easy to read. But you can see the Christ in his writings, the epiphany he had. You know, we don't have to go through this psychological test that somebody's going to shoot us and don't shoot us. We have the Christ with us. We are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Almighty, the Shekinah, the Ruah, the Pneuma, the presence of the Spirit is already with us and in us. We are epiphanies. What did we just say? What did we just say in our first hymn there? It said, show forth the glory of your God which shines on you today. You have that. You have that. When you were baptized, you received the glory. And we said, let your light so shine that others will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, you have that glory. You have that Spirit. You are here. And where two or more are gathered in his holy name, he is presence. Now go, light the world. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.